You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen. Good morning, Makers Church. How are we doing? Have a seat. Have a seat. Hey, if we've never met, my name's Derek, and I'm so glad that we could be together this morning. Do any of you guys love April Fool's Day? That's like your thing. Yeah, a couple of you, because most of us are terrible at it. I tried yesterday a couple times with text messages. They were awful. But I did an awesome one this morning. I work as a fireman, and I was working last night, and all day I was like, I have a friend named Brooke. I don't know if you're here, Brooke, but Brooke is a dirty, dirty April Fool's trickster. One year, she posted on Craigslist that I was giving away a bunch of boxes of tea, and that if people would send me their heartfelt reason why they needed a box of tea, that I'd give it to them. So I got thousands of emails in one day. And I've been trying to like do a cool April Fool's joke since, and I did some awful ones yesterday. But last night we had to drive up to the hospital to pick up our medic who went with the patient to the hospital, and we were driving back. It was about 1 a.m. and I looked back and everyone's asleep on the way back, and I'm like, this is my time to shine. And I'm driving, and then all of a sudden I just stomp on the brakes. Oh my gosh! And all of them jumped out of their seats. Oh, what's going on? And then I said, April Fools, and they said, you idiot, it's already April 2nd. So I failed again miserably. But this is not an April Fool's joke. If you guys have not been with us over the last few weeks, you're like, what happened to Mosaic? I thought I was coming to Mosaic San Diego, and now we're Makers. What happened? If you have not journeyed with us, if you haven't been with us, it's not a joke. We are, today is our first Sunday as Makers Church, that we are stepping into a new season. And we would love for you to catch up with us. And so if you go back to last week's message, it's on our website, makerschurch.org. You can kind of journey with us and be updated there, follow along. And I know that with a lot of change comes a lot of questions. And so please, if you personally have any questions or need clarity on anything, if you would email info@makerschurch.org, we would love to answer your questions and come alongside of you as you kind of come to grips with or grasp kind of what is going on. And we're really, really excited. And so this morning, we are beginning Makers series. We're going to talk about really what makes us makers. What are the things that will guide us as we believe we can step into the future and make the world that God intended for us. And this morning, I wanted to start with kind of showcasing what the process of making looks like. So when we decided on a new name and we knew we were going to rebrand and all of that, we said we need to find someone who has fresh eyes and fresh look on what we're doing. And so we found this amazing woman who's part of our community named Charlotte Wyatt. And we gave her let's clap her up. In fact, let's bring her up because she's here to talk with us this morning. So we asked Charlotte, we said, hey, don't be shy. She's somewhere. There you are. Come on up. Let's clap up Charlotte. So we found Charlotte literally sitting across the table when we were having this conversation. And we said, hey, Charlotte, we're going to rebrand. We're going to make a new name. And we need something that's going to represent us well. And so we dumped like so much information on her. And she, in like a week's time, 2 weeks' time, delivered what you guys have seen as our new brand, our new logo, and all that kind of stuff. And the thing that I loved the most about it was, even though the end product was beautiful, I loved, Charlotte, the process that you went through to get us there. So I wanted you this morning to tell us, take us through that process again of how you came up with this.
Sure. Well, I don't know if this is okay.
Just talk close.
Good morning. So when they came to me to tell me about this new name and this new vision, I mean, I thought, okay, what does that look like visually? And one of the things that they were really focused on is, what if we had like a mark and something, like an abstract symbol that represents who we are? And so with the word makers, I stepped back and I thought, well, what is a maker? What does that look like? What are the common associations? And by definition, it's a person that brings into existence by shaping or producing. My first visual thought, was, well, that's, a lot of times that's something very tangible. You know, it's like a hammer or a pencil or a tool. But if you think about, you know, who we are as makers and who God is as a maker, it's a lot less tangible than that. Like, God created us by his word, and, you know, we live out our lives, and by our word, we are making disciples. And so it couldn't be something so tangible. And so we stepped back again, and they gave me a couple words that were going to become the pillars of this new church. These four pillars: generative, communal, bold, unfinished. And I thought, okay, well, these are the pillars of the church, so these have to be the pillars of kind of where I'm going to take this visually. So I created this mark that I think embodies what this is and what this means. And I wanted to kind of show you a little bit of behind the scenes of what this mark means. It's kind of an abstract mark. So we can go to the next slide. The first one is generative. Humanity is uniquely designed to be generative. And, you know, we're producing. We're flowing, and we're... it's like this pyramidal shape of, you have this top element, which, you know, you can put what you want, but I think it's like God is that top element, and then we as a church are coming, we're expanding and we're growing, and so you have this pyramidal shape to represent generative. Next slide. And then we're communal. I think this is a huge thing. There's many parts coming together in this mark. And not only that, I created this system of patterns to represent the diversity of, we're all different, yet we come together as a church, as a body, to create this cohesive symbol, yet everything's different. And there's openness to it. It's inclusive. It's kind of coming. It's a movement. It's coming together. And then the next one is, we're bold. And it's, I mean, in my opinion, it's a little bit awkward. It's kind of this, like, one, it breaks some rules of design in terms of what a symbol is supposed to be. But I like that, because we as a church are bold. We're taking risk. We're not living in fear. We're following God. We're trusting. We live with a lot of faith. And so it's this abstract mark. And then the next one is, just to, you know, throw a little M's in there. For makers, you have a lot of M's going on. You can kind of find your favorite. and then the biggest one that I've really focused on was unfinished. It's not a complete cube. It's this abstract idea of lots of things are coming together. There's movement, and you know, we as makers, it's our lives. It's how we're growing as people individually and as a body. And so there's this, you know, movement quality, and there's actually this animation. I don't know if any of you seen it, but of, you know, God created us like in Garden of Eden, you know, we were whole and we were complete, and then the fall, we broke apart, yet we're coming together to create a new world and a new earth. So that is Maker's Church. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. So inspiring. Thank her once more. Just once again, when she showed us and gave us the brand presentation and she showed us the mark, I was like, immediately loved it. This mic is, just, come on, mic. Let me change this out. 1 minute.
Check. I'm going to talk on this one. Check. Oh, that's a good one. Mic one. Can you hear me now? Is this the one I should be on? Yeah? No? Okay. Check. All right.
So
our brand pillar
being unfinished is just being evident right now. It's a work in progress. Can you hear me? Awesome. Yeah, there's like a thing in the mic.
Yes. Oh, there we go. There we go. So good. It's all a work in progress, guys. It's just a process. So what we wanted to do over the next few Sundays is really break down these four pillars, these values of ours, to be generative, to be communal, to be bold, to be unfinished. And so this morning I want to step into this one that's called generative. It was so cute this morning. We were driving back from a call, and the guys on the fire engine were like, hey, what are you talking about this morning? And which is pretty cool. And I said, hey, we're going to talk about being generative. And they're like, dude, is that even a word? And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope it's a word. I think it's a word. And one of them Googled it. He's like, yeah, you dummy. It means, you know, to like produce things. I'm like, okay, I'm glad it's a word. We should have like checked that before we made that like a pillar. But so these are the things. And before we step into all this, I want to like be really clear about something. These are ideals, right? These are things that we're aiming for. We're shooting for these things. And so when we say like this is us or we are these things, we're saying, man, we hope that we can move towards becoming this, right? This is something that we're working towards. And it's like, these are the things that we want to just hold close to us that will guide all of our decisions and actions. And I was thinking about the things that I'm trying to teach my kids. And, you know, it's like, my son is 5, my daughter's 3, and I'm teaching this thing right now, like, Millers never quit, right? I'm teaching them that all the time. Millers never quit, right? We don't say, I can't. We don't say, I won't. We say, I can, I will, I'll try. And so I'm like ingraining this into my kids. Millers never quit, right? And my kids are so cute. They like quote it, you know, Millers never quit. And they'll tell each other, you know. And it's great, but here's the thing with like mantras like this and stuff. It's like context matters, right? Because, you know, and so even like with what we're going to talk about this morning, like context matters, right? It's awesome, cool to, like to have a battle cry and to have a thing, but like how you apply it and what you do with it matters, right? So my kids, they're frenemies, right? They love each other and they hate each other and they fight and they bicker and they poke and they prod. And the other day they were just at each other, just arguing and arguing and arguing. And I told them to stop very politely many, many times, about 2,000 times. And then finally I said, if you don't quit arguing, I'm gonna. And my brother or my son looked at his sister and he said, don't you dare quit. Millers never quit. And I'm like, you little dirty dog. And, you know, and it's like, I'm trying to get this ingrained in them so much so that I'm like, Millers never quit. We'll die trying, you know? And my son's like, Dad, I'm 5 years old. I got a whole life to live. Like, you know? And so, and don't get me wrong. Like, we hope that we never quit. We hope that failure might stop us in our tracks, right? There's a difference between quitting and failing. And I think Lance Armstrong says, like, pain is temporary, but quitting lasts forever, you know? And I'm like, that's a good one, Lance. And I'm like trying to teach this to the kids. And these are those things, right? These are the things that like I hope that we can get these into us, that we can like use these as our guides, the things that like the rails that keep us on track to get to where we're going. But when I say this, it's important for us to understand almost everything I talk about this morning is that it will only ever be true of us if only it becomes true of you. Okay, like whatever we say we are, what we're about, we're makers, we're this, we're that, we are us. And us is a collection of yous and me's and I's. And so when I say this is us and this is what we are, it is only true if you become this. And so what we chose as one of our pillars is that we would be a community that is generative. We believe that, and then if you looked on our website, and some of you have, we're unfinished, so we're figuring it all out, but we have our mission statement, which is we make, to make on earth as it is in heaven. We long to help you live your best life by helping you encounter God, grow in your faith, discover your purpose, and make a better world. That's like our mission statement. And then our values is what we're going to unpack this morning. These four things, we're going to unpack one of them, generative. But then we have this other thing. It's called our manifesto, and I love it. But we took these 12 things in our manifesto, and we broke them down basically as like the subpoints, the supporting causes of these things. And so this morning, that's what I want to walk through. So what we mean when we say that we are generative is first that we understand that God is our maker, right? That God is our maker. God is the maker of all things. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. If you didn't get it, he created us. It says it 3 times. And then out of that, the next verse brings us to our second point of our manifesto, which says that making is our must. Because we are made in God's image and likeness, because God is our maker, then it's true that making is our must. Genesis 1:28 says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, be generative, and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So we understand that if God is the maker of us, if God is the maker of all things, and making then is our must, then we know that what our lives are about is to be an entity, to be a person, a part of a bigger thing that is generating, that is producing, that is fruitful, that is making. And when we ask the question, like, what is the one thing we hope we make? Like, we want to make all sorts of things. We have some beautiful makers. We have designers. We have jacks of all trades like Andrew, who plays the keys and carves beautiful things out of wood and posts them on Instagram and makes me cry almost because he made this beautiful sign that said maker on it last week. And that's true. And I don't want you guys to gloss over the fact that we are making beautiful things and that what we make is glorifying and edifying and all that. But when we ask the question, what do we want to make the most? We took Matthew 28 to heart, where Jesus says, go out and make disciples. It's the declarative thing that he gives us to do. It is the vocation. It is the invitation. It is the charge that he gives us. Go out and make disciples. And so we want to be a church that is committed to not only making disciples, but making disciples that make disciples, right? It's a generative thing. It is a fruitful thing. It's multiplying. It's exponential. It isn't just a one-time thing. It isn't just a one-person thing. It is wildfire. We hope that we are that kind of church. But there's a lot of things that can get in the way of that, right? There's a lot of things that can keep us from progressing, keep us from growing, keep us from multiplying. And, I bring kind of my own life experience into my values when I teach my kids, like, we'll never quit, or like, we're going to make disciples no matter what. Like, if there's a will, there's a way. You know, I love that. And I love it even better when it's like, if it's God's will, there's definitely a way, right? Like, I love that if we can put our mind to something, I believe we can achieve great things. But I believe if we do what God asks us to do, we will actually be successful every time. Right, when God gives us a charge to go make disciples, I believe that he will give us the way to do it. And so I say, as a church, we're going to be the kind of people where if there isn't a way, we're going to find a way. If we can't find a way, we're going to make a way. Right? I loved Rage Against the Machine growing up, and I loved this one lyric. It says, we don't need the keys, we'll break in. And I'm like, yes. We don't need doors opened, we'll kick them in. We don't need windows unlocked, we'll open them. Like, we will make a way to do this. We are so committed to this. We never quit, but we often fail. In fact, we fail fast, we fail quick, we fail often. But the thing that I love about this concept of generative thinking, of being the type of people who produce, it's that what I've discovered in life most often is that there's an awakening that comes through trial. There's a creativity that comes through suffering. There's a thing inside of us that shifts in our failures and in our trials and in the things that would feel like they're coming against us that are actually in turn shaping us and causing us to find another way, to be generative and creative. It's in the moments of loss and despair and denial that we can often feel the urge to give up. But I believe if we press into it, it will be perhaps the most innovative time in our life, where we have to find another way. The next thing is this concept of generosity. And as we say, generosity is our measure. If it's true that God is the maker and making is our must, then we believe that to be generative, it requires this thing inside of us to shift where we become generous. And I don't think there's any mistake that the root word is the same, right? To be generous and to be generative. In fact, I believe it only comes, being generative only comes when we choose to live a life of generosity. See, so many times we think a life of generosity only comes when we are, when we have much, when we have so much that it overflows from us. But when you actually choose generosity when you have not much, it forces you to be generative. In fact, there's this beautiful story in our history of this highly dysfunctional girl at the time named Pastor Shalise Dunton. And this was probably 5 years ago. And we were actually right here across the street that way. At a different venue, and we had these big dreams to move downtown and to convert this warehouse. And at the time, it was going to cost us $60,000. Our church had never seen $6,000. We were a couple years into it. Everybody was a volunteer. Rent was cheap. And we had this goal that was just absolutely outside of us, to raise $60,000 in 1 week. And I remember coming to the church and casting vision for this. And I said, hey, it's going to cost us $60,000 to sign the contract. And if we can get it by the end of the week, there's a beautiful future that we can create in this new space. And I said, and I looked around, it was like not many of us. Everybody was young, broke, poor. I said, I know no one's got $60,000 laying around. In fact, I know that all 60 of us probably don't even have an extra $1,000 to give. But I believe that we're the most creative group in the world, and all of us can find a way to find $1,000. At this point, I was like, you could steal it. I don't care. But I just said, I challenged our church. I said, I want you to creatively find a way to raise $1,000 by the end of the week. And we left church, went to lunch, and by 1 p.m., Shalise texts me. She goes, I found a way. I found a way. See, Shalise had chosen to be generous, even though she had nothing of herself to give. And she had this crazy moment where she realized that there was something that she could give up. And at the time, she was a smoker, and it was evident because she smoked everywhere and smelled like smoke. And she went to her family, and she had been trying to quit for years. And her family obviously wanted her to quit. And she came to her family and she said, hey, if I'll quit smoking today, would you sponsor me for $1,000? And I'll cold turkey today. And if I smoke another cigarette, like, I'm going to pay you back tenfold, or however it went. So I'll elaborate a little bit, because stories are better if you know. I don't remember the exact details, but we're creative, right? But basically her family said, yeah, if you'll quit today, $1,000, we're in. And I just thought, wow. Like, when you choose to live a life of generosity, it forces you to find a way. It forces you to become generative. It forces you to find ways that normally would not have worked. And the story of Shalise has inspired our church time and time and time again. But the thing that I love is that we've had so many people in our history who have said, I'm going to be committed to this even when I've got nothing to give. I'm going to give my time even when I'm busy. I'm going to give my attention to someone even when I've got my own needs. I'm going to care for others when I don't have anything to give. I need to be cared for. I'm going to give myself away anyways. And we see this happening over and over again. And what I love is that generosity is this thing that sometimes if we hear it, we go, oh no, we know where this is going. Give us your money. Give us your money. Give us your money. And I think there are some things that keep us from being generous people. One of them is, first, the thing that we need to get over is an ungrateful heart. See, gratitude is actually the thing that will lead to generosity. As long as we are ungrateful, as long as we have the scarcity mindset that there's only so much in the world that is to go around and I've got my piece, as long as we don't trust that God can actually make a way, that God can provide all things, then we will stay people who are not generous. But the secret of generosity is that life is most enjoyed when we give ourselves away. The secret of generosity is that we come more fully alive when we give our lives away, when we lay them down for each other. Those who give most freely live most fully. And the thing about generosity is that it's about being free. It's about freedom. It's about not being owned by the things you have, not being had by the things that you have. And Paul so beautifully talks about this in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now we need to say something. This is where the prosperity gospel comes from. And that is an untrue way to look at it. See, it says whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You can look at that and go, it's a great investment plan. If I just give this much, I'll get this much. If I just give this much, there will be this return on my investment. How foolish would I be not to give that? But that isn't what it's saying at all. It doesn't say that if you give money here that you're going to find, if you give $100 here, that you're going to find $1,000 on the sidewalk. And I know we hear stories like that all the time, and God is big, God, he could do that. But it isn't promised. It doesn't say that if we give financially, if you give of your time, God's not going to give you more than 24 hours in the day, right? If you give of your space or your life, it doesn't mean that you're going to get that thing back. But what it says first in verse 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I love that Paul is going, look, it doesn't matter what you give, it matters why you give, right? If you're giving out of obligation, it will never be fulfilling. But if you are giving out of opportunity and giving of yourself because God has shaped you and changed you and you can give of yourself, then it says you can do that with a cheerful heart. Verse 8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. I want you to hear this. Once again, this is not an investment plan in terms of getting a return on your investment. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Did you hear what he said the payoff would be? That when you give of yourself, the thing that you will abound in, the thing that will be generated in your life, the thing that will grow the fastest, is that you will abound in every good work. See, when you give of yourself, the return on your investment is an increased capacity to give more. The guaranteed increase is that you will abound in every good work. See, the more good that we do, the more good we can do. Our capacity increases. Any parents in the room? A couple of you? You're all still hungover from waking up with kids, getting them to church on time. We know this, right? You have one kid and you go, I'm tapped. I'm at my capacity. I could never love or hate another thing more in my life. And then you have another kid. And all of a sudden, boom, your heart increases. You love and hate two things equally the same. See, the more you give of yourself away, the more your capacity increases. It says in verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You go, wait a minute, sounds like an investment plan. Do you know what happens between reaping and sowing? Do you know what is required of a farmer that takes place between the season of reaping and the season of sowing? Work. Tons of work. Tons of work. You don't just plant the seeds. You don't just sow the seeds. You actually till the ground, work the soil, and then you reap a harvest. And so what the scriptures say is that God is the one who gives the seed. But it is actually the bread and the abundance that comes through the marrying up the collaboration of God's seed in our work. And that is what will increase the harvest. And more bread will come. It says, this service that you performed, it says, verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. When we choose a generous life, when we choose to give of ourselves, of our time, of our treasure, of our talent, of our resource, when we choose to give it before we even have it, it guarantees that we will find a way to keep on growing in our capacity to give. The scriptures say that you will be blessed, that you will abound more and more in every good work. At Makers Church, we believe that generosity is our measure. It is the pathway to being generative. And the last thing that I want to close with is the statement that we believe progress is our momentum. Progress is our momentum. What we mean by that is that we don't maintain, we multiply. We don't maintain, we multiply. I love in the parable of the talents where it says that the boss, he entrusted different talents to different people, and he gave 1 5, 1 10, and 1 5, and 1 1, and the gospels tell it in different stories. But the crux of the story is that some of them, they took what they had and they multiplied it. They increased it. They put it to work. They were generative. They were fruitful with what they were entrusted with, except for the one who took the one and maintained it. He hid it. And it says that the boss, he looks at him and calls him evil and wicked. See, we aren't just held accountable for what we do with our lives. We are accountable for what we don't do with our lives. We aren't just accountable for what we grow or what we use to God's glory. We're also accountable for what we hold close and do not multiply and do not use. And in the parable of the sower, it talks about the soil in Luke 8, verse 4. It says, well, a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow the seed, and as he was scattering the seed and some fell along the path, it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. And still others fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Did you catch what took place? That the seed was sown. That the seed was scattered, and there were different types of soil, and there was one type of soil that multiplied, that had an exponential growth in it. But I love this. As beautifully as Jesus was speaking, his disciples in verse 9 are like, what do you mean by that? I love how frank they were. They're like, Jesus, great poetry. What are you talking about? And I love that Jesus, he wasn't just like this riddle master. He didn't just like give riddles and made us figure them out. He wasn't like, use your creativity, figure out what I'm saying. No, he actually explains it to them in verse 11. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You go, it's the Bible. Read the Bible. I know I should do that. No, there were the Jewish scriptures then when Jesus was speaking, but that's not what he was talking about. See, the scriptures say that the Word was with God and the Word was God. See, when Jesus is saying the seed is the Word of God, he's talking about himself. I'm the seed. The ones along the path are those that have heard of me. And then the devil comes and he takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard the word, they received it with joy. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard the word, they received it with joy, but they had no root. They believed for a while, but in time, the testing, they fell away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for those that fell in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hearing of me, hearing the gospel, they hold it fast and honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. They multiply.
They produce. They're generative. Now, I think it's counterintuitive of Jesus to be speaking to them, many of who had grown up in a religious space, had priests and others to help them along their journey. And I know that we can stand up here and we could go, yeah, Maker's Church is this thing. And absolutely, we want to be good soil. We want to be, as a church, the soil that when you plant in it, that you will grow. That when you come and you're a part of us and you step into our doors, that you would know that you belong here before you believe, but you won't be here long before you do, because the gospel is so compelling. We want to be good soil. Soil that grows you, that produces you, that multiplies your gifts and your talents and your life. But if you understand the way Jesus was telling the story, is he was actually talking in first person. He wasn't talking about us being this for you. He was talking about you being the good soil. I know that we can create spaces, and we long to create spaces where you can encounter God. I know that we can create moments, and we can do things, and we can have great worship and amazing preaching. We can do all of this stuff together that would create an environment that's healthy, that's wholesome, that grows you. But what Jesus is saying in this passage is that you are the one who is responsible for making sure that your hardness of heart does not keep the seed, does not keep Jesus from changing you. The hardness of heart is the path that the seeds fell on. That you would not be the ones who have a shallowness of spirit. The ground that has a thin layer of dirt, but underneath it, it's rock. That we would not be those people who, when Jesus comes to us, we respond for a moment, but then we fall away. Or even worse, the thing that almost every single one of us is guilty of, we are the ground of thorns and weeds who have busy lives that choke out what God is trying to do in us. The busyness and the cares of this world, the things that make us feel whole for a moment, will never compare than when we become the people who are good soil, who receives Jesus, the Word of God, with an open heart, and we can allow that seed to produce, the seed of Christ in us to generate new life. See, we're fools if we think that we could do this. That we could till the ground and work hard enough, that we could plant seeds and water and harvest, that Jesus wants to do that first in us. See, this will ever only be true of us if only it ever becomes true of you. Our heart, our reason we exist and are here, is so that we can be makers, generative, living fully out this reality that God is the maker of all things and we are made to make. That generosity is our measure, that progress is our momentum. But it only happens when the seed, the Word of God, Jesus himself, is invited into your heart. And so with heads bowed and with eyes closed, I believe there are many of us here who can identify with one of those types of soil. And I just want you to think to yourself now, Do a self-assessment.
Am I the path? Am I the one of hard heart who's heard of Jesus, heard the gospel, but just have not allowed it in? Or maybe you can identify yourself as that of shallow spirit. You've allowed God around you, but maybe you've been in spiritual places. Maybe you've been here week in and week out, maybe even in a community group. But you've never allowed the seed, the very essence of God, Jesus himself, in to the depth of your being. Maybe you're like me, where I identify myself with most of the time, the ground of thorns and weeds. Busy, 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 busy. Trying hard to do good things. Trying hard to work it out myself. Wherever you're at this morning, my hope and my prayer is that you would long to be good soil of good heart, where the seed of God, where Jesus himself can actually come in and begin to make you generative, fruitful. And in your own way this morning, I'd love for you to invite the Holy Spirit to change your heart. God, we pray, Lord, for those of us in the room who we just know we are hard of heart. And we've never invited you in. We've never let you in. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just, even if it takes 7 times, God, to march around that heart, God, I just pray the walls would fall. If that's you this morning, you've never allowed Jesus into your heart, and you want to this morning, you want to be a generative person, someone who can make a difference in the world, someone who can use all the giftings God has given you to live your best life. If that's you and you want to invite Jesus into your heart this morning, if you just raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, just raise your hand in the air. Amen. Just repeat this prayer if that's you. Jesus, I give you my life. That simple. Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart. God, we thank you, Lord, for those who have opened their hearts to you. God, we know that we're unfinished, God, that this is a transformation, that it's a process, that it's a life, God, that you're going to shape us. But God, we thank you, Lord, for those who have opened their hearts to you. God, we pray, Lord, that you would do what only you could do. That you would go deep and uncover and let them know, God, that they are loved and forgiven because of your grace. God, I pray for the rest of us, God, that you would do the work to make us good soil. God, make us good soil, Lord, where you can grow in us and out of it flow the fruit, the change, the goodness, Lord, that you want to do in this city and beyond. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, let's stand together and worship.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.